Welcome to the 10-12, the podcast that covers all 10 teams in the Big 12 Conference. I'm your host, Philip Slavin. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday. All right, let's just get this out of the way quickly. This is not what this episode is supposed to be. Today's episode was supposed to be our Big 12 cornerback rankings. The interview is done. Two fantastic guests. Love both. Great show. Great conversation. 45 minutes of cornerback talk in the Big 12. And that has been shelved until next week. And my whole schedule that I set up is out the damn window. Why, you might ask? Well, in case you are a Big 12 fan who's been living in a coma until you immediately woke up 5 minutes ago and turned this podcast on Wednesday, the Houston Chronicle broke the story that broke the sports Twitter world, or the sports internet from that standpoint, that Oklahoma and Texas had been talking to the SEC about joining the conference. The story from Brent Zwinneman, I'm saying it wrong, I don't really care because I'm not in a great mood about all this right now. I'm basically stating that both schools had reached out to the SEC and were interested in joining. That is according to a high-ranking college official with knowledge of the situation who told the Houston Chronicle that on Wednesday. Quote, an announcement could come within a couple of weeks concerning those two schools. We'll see about that. That seems awfully quickly. This report has basically been confirmed that Oklahoma and Texas have been talking to the SEC, by Alabama.com or AL.com. They had heard some things at SEC Media Days, which are going on right now. I gotta go through my like 18 different freaking things. Brett McMurphy, of course, of Stadium. This quote, Texas and Oklahoma inquired with SEC about leaving Big 12, and SEC has interest in both schools, sources told Stadium. Quote, this will take some time, but there is interest on both sides, according to a source. At a Big 12 source, this was inevitable. When the Houston Chronicle article came out, considering all the things that we've talked about on this show with guests, including the guest I'm going to have on here in just a second, Keegan Renaud, this lines up with everything that we have heard. And I say we have heard. Let me start with here. There is too much smoke for there not to be fire. It's not a done deal. Nothing is a done deal. But this is not just some run-of-the-mill Reddit thread that's got a rumor going around and somebody on a TexAgs message board decided to carry it through. Okay, guys? This is enough people with enough knowledge and enough connections and enough know-it-all that they're not going to come out and keep reporting on this. And that nobody has said this is not true. Nobody has said this is not true. Tells you what you need to know. Hell, the Oklahoma and Texas official statements that are basically the office meme of corporate wants to know, wants you to find the difference in between these pictures. It's the same photo. Let me read them to you. The first one, Oklahoma statement on the SEC report, quote, the college athletics landscape is shifting constantly. We don't address every anonymous rumor. The Texas statement, speculation swirls around college athletics. We will not address rumors or speculation. I mean, there's plagiarism and then there's plagiarism. And this is basically like, just make sure your homework's a little bit different than ours so nobody thinks that we copied off of each other. Okay, that's what this is. This whole entire situation feels like when you go into your boss at work with an offer from another job saying, give me what I want or I'm going to leave. Except the problem is their foot's already out of the door and they just want to see what they can get out of you just for their own joy. All right. Keegan Renaud of OU Insider through the keyhole, who's been on the show multiple times. We had our OU conspiracies podcast earlier this summer, which feels a lot less conspiracy and a lot more accurate now. He's just smiling and cackling. He is overjoyed right now. While I have a knot in my stomach the size of Texas and Oklahoma, if you want to put that into an actual fucking shape. I don't curse a lot on this podcast, but I'm probably going to today, and I'll explain why later, because I will talk about the impact of the Big 12 as I see it here in a bit. But for now, we're just going to focus on Oklahoma and Texas and this cluster that's occurring. Keegan, my friend, I'm going to use that word fairly liberally right now. How are you, sir? How is your afternoon?
Just say this, and you can speak to this, and this is just being real off the top here. Like, there's a feeling you have when you do a job like this, what we do, even with podcasts like you guys have. I know you have Oklahoma State people that you talk to and trust, and you share information on here, and when it comes to fruition, it feels good. It's a reassuring thing. It's reassuring that I didn't have a tinfoil hat on and was smoking meth whenever I was doing the Conspiracy Theories Now podcast. It wasn't. It was real. It's been real. And thankfully for Joakim Siglione being emotional, we were able to pick up on it and have details and find things out. And basically the two options I believe I laid out on here, and Philip can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe I said this: either OU is going to head to the Big Ten with Fox by themselves, with Kansas, so by themselves, or OU and Texas were going to go to the SEC. Those were the two things that were thrown out at me, and neither of them included Oklahoma State and or anybody else in the league. And I just want to go from right here. I want to throw something to you because I know we're both kind of speaking to each other in this one. But
yeah,
I want to know, and I believe Jeff Ketchum, and I'll quote him here. I don't give him a ton of credit or even talk about much of what he says, but I think to this. Oklahoma and Joakim Siglione don't know anybody at the Houston Chronicle. Texas media has been enamored with Texas talking to the ACC for the last 2 years. There was nobody besides me and give Shibes Lover, Red Dirt Sport, and I guess the OG of all this, Greg Flugauer, who has come up short because he didn't realize Fox would screw this up.
But we'll get the timeline in a minute.
But at the end of the day, no one knew. So how did a reporter of the Houston Chronicle get a hold of that, Mr. Slavin? Ding, ding, ding! Our old friends down in College Station. They're not happy about this.
No, they're not. And the athletic director said as much today, or the school president, I forget which one.
Sorry to cut you off here. Do you see what Jimbo said about this?
Oh, be careful what you wish for.
Shut the up, Jimbo. Go ahead.
Good grief. No, it's, when Texas A&M head coach Jimbo Fisher was asked about the two schools inquiring about joining the SEC, he quipped, "I bet they would." Texas A&M Athletic Director Ross Bjork told reporters on Wednesday, quote, "We want to be the only SEC team from the state of Texas," emphasis on want. And look, is it Kirk Bull who's like, basically that Texas A&M and Missouri would stand in the way of this happening? And let me just say this for Texas A&M and Missouri real quick. If the SEC has to choose between you two and Texas and Oklahoma, well, the Big 12 is going to be looking for a couple of teams, Mizzou and A&M. So if you are looking for a new home, I guess you can come back because they're going to pick Oklahoma and they're going to pick Texas over the two of you. Sankey is going to show up on your doorstep and go, "You're going to do this. It's going to happen."
There's only one.
No current school is going to stand in the way. The only school that could do it maybe is Alabama, and they're not going to stand in the way.
There's only one school who will end up voting no. And the only reason why everybody else will vote yes, because Greg Sankey will show them the top revenues for each year in college football, and Oklahoma and Texas are in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one school who will vote no and get away with it. And that's, again, where I think the source of the leak today happened. Because I can tell you, mm-hmm. I was reached out unpromptly today while I was on air. Got to talk about it a little bit. Oklahoma side, things escalated a lot quicker than we expected. That today was a shock for Oklahoma. Today they were surprised that this is out, and I'm not shocked that they're shocked that it got out, because I know you will want me to lay out that this might be the most Joakim Siglione deal in the history of his athletic director time at Oklahoma. And it may not even be close.
Well, before you get to that, I put this out on Twitter. I said this, and I always stand by it. Who puts out information oftentimes is as important as the information that gets released. Because information only gets released. Secrets only get out because somebody wants them out. They don't just suddenly a note just magically appeared somewhere. No, somebody wants information out. Who would benefit from that information? Texas A&M believes that they benefit from that information by getting it out there. Now, if they don't, it doesn't matter. If this is going to happen, it's going to happen whether Texas A&M wants it to happen or not. Like, tough shit. 11 out of the 14 schools have to approve it. Yes, there's been a so-called everyone has to agree for these kinds of things to happen. But if this is what the SEC and Greg Sankey wants to happen, this is what's going to happen, because it's going to be beneficial for everybody involved on the SEC side, not everybody in the Big 12. Like I said, we'll talk about them in a minute. Keegan, I kind of want to talk to you about, the more I've been thinking about this, the thing I've been thinking about the most is the timeline of how we got here. Because things don't just happen magically or in a out of nowhere. There's always a progression to how we get from point A to point B. And sometimes the only way to figure out what the route is going to be is until we get towards the end and we're able to look back a bit. So I want your opinion on this. This is kind of what I've worked out. Point one being realignment in the first place. Obviously, Texas kind of screwed the pooch there. That's why everything is the way it is. It's why we have West Virginia instead of Louisville in the Big 12. Thanks, Texas. Never going to forgive you for that one. They shook all this shit up. They caused the problems in the first place. That is the first step. The next step is that Oklahoma signed a 10-year deal for their third-tier media rights, leaving themselves the ability to renegotiate those before the Big 12 deal of rights comes up in, I believe, what, 2024, 2025? I forget which year it is. I know it's in the next few years. So next step, Oklahoma has set themselves up to kind of navigate the landscape 10 years down the line and decide what's going to be the best option for them as far as where they end up, being in the Big 12 or a different conference. Because the moves to conferences don't just happen quickly. They're well thought out and planned for a while. Number two, and I kind of get pissed off because this is Oklahoma's own fault to some extent, but this to one is the big step. When David Boren and all the outspoken stuff about expanding the Big 12 and adding teams, the Big 12 was going to add teams, but ESPN and Fox both told them, because the way the contracts were written with ESPN and Fox, people seem to forget this stuff because I hear them all the time, well, they should have just added teams. The way the contract was written was that if the Big 12 added teams, the ESPN and Fox would have to add that much more money to compensate them for it. And both ESPN and Fox said, there's not a school you're going to add that's worth the amount we're going to have to pay for them. Do not do this. This is where Bowlesby should have immediately been fired, because they kowtowed to the networks and said, okay, we won't add anybody. It's why Cincinnati is not part of the Big 12 right now, and whoever else they were seriously considering, because Cincinnati was going to be one of the schools they added. And again, I wish they had. That set the precedent. The Big 12 lost any and all leverage that they might have with the networks when they decided to make that decision. It's why when they went to renegotiate the contracts early this past summer, they were told, no. It's why Bowlesby is sitting up there on Big 12 Media Day saying, sorry, OU, we all signed the contract. It's why OU can't get any movement when they start asking for a nighttime kickoff for OU Nebraska and for it not to be 11 a.m., years in advance of this game actually occurring and still it being an 11 a.m. kickoff, because the Big 12 kowtowed to the networks, which I understand the networks have a lot of power. They're paying you, but the SEC doesn't just bend over backwards when they tell you, no, you can't do something. The Big 10 doesn't just bend over backwards when they tell you can't do something. The Big 12 did. They lost all negotiating powers. And now here we are. Does that seem about right?
And yeah, I think that you laid it out perfectly. I think the big thing that we talked about we came on, right, that I needed to make sure it got out there, and you said it from the get-go, is that Oklahoma put themselves in this kind of unique position, and we talked about it. Yes. On the last one, and it was super smart by them at the time. They saw the landscape of the sport. They saw that Oklahoma was having more trouble recruiting during that kind of time period whenever this negotiation was going down, so they basically allowed themselves to be a great poker chip. Now, it's interesting, Philip. If Bob never hires Lincoln Riley in 2015, does Oklahoma have as much power as they do now? Who knows? It's a great question.
If OU beats Georgia, does Jalen Hurts end up in Norman? Because does Tua ever have to come in at halftime? Because if a dumbass doctor lets Nick Saban have the quarterback he wants in Miami, is Nick Saban still the head coach of the Miami Dolphins and not an Alabama terrorizing all of college? We can do a lot of what ifs here. I get it.
I just want to say this. If y'all can't tell, Phil's fired up. But anyways, I was going to say, like, there's a lot that goes into this that has led up to this point. And there's been a paper trail the entire way. If you really go back and look and pay attention, I know we laid it all out on the last pod. And I think I did probably did a, I will do a better job on that one than I will on this one, because my emotions right now are so raw on this thing, but it's they put themselves in this position. Yeah, they put themselves in this position, and I'm very shocked. I think the only thing from just an Oklahoma side of things and being here and knowing the program and been around it my whole life, I think it is shocking that they're wielding this power this openly. Because, like, you look at history, right? Them and Georgia are the reasons why TV contracts exist. You look at a bunch of other things, and Oklahoma's kind of been at the forefront of it. So I shouldn't be surprised. But with how kind of they've acted in my lifetime to kind of go above and beyond really the grain of college football, what we know it, I mean, going to create a 16-team league, that wouldn't even been imaginable 10 years ago if you're Oklahoma, especially to the SEC of all places. So it's yeah, I think another important thing here too, you're talking about like timeline and everything. I don't have anything confirmed, which even with my people, I would, but they're not talking, if you could imagine that. And at the same time, I still headed into this podcast, Philip, with the mindset that I think this is probably close to a done deal.
I mean, Texas A&M is not scared about this unless they feel that. Well, again, Texas A&M is not leaking this unless they are afraid that it is that close. I mean, honestly, and I don't know that a DeLoss Dodds, Bill Powers, you know, 1 minute to midnight sort of situation is going to divert this like it did the Pac-16 last time, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's what it's going to take. Now, the only hope you have if you want to hold out hope is that when OU signs away their new third-tier rights deal, that it's to ESPN. If it's to Fox, I think that tells you they're going to the Big Ten. But I think if it's ESPN, it's likely they're still going to the SEC, but I think that that gives you some hope that maybe they'll stick around. But I don't think they're going to stick around because here's the other piece to this. If OU has convinced and massaged Texas to the point that they are fine, because remember, last time realignment happened, Texas was leading the shit. Now, Oklahoma is leading the ship, and Texas is in tow. And Texas isn't going to like to hear that, and Texas fans aren't going to want to hear that, but Oklahoma is leading the ship, and Texas is following along. Texas is riding Oklahoma's wake. They are shake and baking this thing across the finish line to the SEC, because I don't think the SEC is just going to bring Texas in on their own. They're going to want to bring in both together. So,
yeah, that's OU a big point. OU is leading
this horse, and I don't think I think Oklahoma is in this, and I think that if you put that much energy into convincing Texas to do this, Texas is not going to change their mind and want to be like, you know what, never mind, we're good. No, they're in. And it very much feels like if Texas is in on this, they're in on it. They're not just going to come back. They're in on leaving. So if for some reason the SEC deal does fall apart, Texas could just be like, you know what, we are going to go to the SEC. You know what, we are just going to go independent. I think this train has left the station, and I don't think you can back it up.
I don't think you can either. And it sounds, and again, there's going to be reports from everybody. Everybody, you can guarantee Chip Brown is going to have a 1,000-word post tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., over this, right? Yeah, it's
because it's gonna be the best month for Texags ever, and it's gonna be about the Big 12.
No, yeah,
since Texas A&M,
it's gonna be about Oklahoma and Texas. I thought that was a pretty good comment today. And like, I don't get big, and you know, I can take troll, and I'm really good at trolling and taking shots. And we agree to disagree on things, and it's all fine and dandy, right? The quote I saw today, the tweet I saw today, where it was like Texas A&M, you're scared to play us. And Texas is like, okay, we'll join the SEC. And Texas A&M, quote, no. It's like, you sons. Again, that's the best part is like, and here's the thing about Texas too. Texas is in this great position because Texas A&M now kind of has power in the big, in the SEC. And everybody hates it in the SEC, just like all the Big 12 schools hated Texas at the time, you know? So Texas is kind of coming into this unique window in the SEC where they're not going to be the most hated team just because they're Texas. Again, we
A&M hates this. This literally cuts the legs out from under A&M.
Oh, can you imagine how pissed they're going to be in recruiting when Oklahoma can recruit at the same level in the state as Texas A&M?
Texas.
Yeah.
When Texas and Oklahoma can take the recruits that Texas A&M is currently getting because they're in the SEC. And A&M's, I saw like, oh, Texas likes being the fifth place team in the SEC West. And I'm like, folks, Alabama and Auburn are going to move to the East. The West is, if this happens, the West is, that's they're okay. Does Arkansas still want to be in the SEC? Because their situation is just about to get even worse.
It's yeah, no, I'm with you. I think like there's one school that's at least if you like in the near view, like to 2023. And I guess again, that's so relative when you say like the near view and like future and this and that. But Texas ain't ready in the next 2 years to go in. And I mean, you look at it, and I don't know if this is the point in the pod where we're doing this at, but you look at it from Oklahoma's perspective, Philip. You get Texas, LSU, Arkansas, Missouri, Mississippi, and Mississippi State every year. That's your division.
And A&M. Yeah.
That is a no-brainer. Let me scoot back so I can say it's louder. That is a no-brainer. It would make zero sense for them not to take that opportunity. Now, if from talking from just a football perspective, which again, that's what this is.
Yes, this is a football move. And it is. It makes a ton of sense. And then, you know, you play it. What does it say? What would we do?
No, they would still play eight. They play eight conference games.
Oh, yeah. They're playing eight conference games. No, they'll cut back to seven. They won't even play the other division until it's in the conference championship game. So let's see. Two FCS games in October. Two FCS games in October. A couple of G5s in one game against Oklahoma State every year. Is that what we're going to do here? So is it one Power Five against OSU
Yeah, it'll.
No, that'll be November. I would imagine it'll be the Florida State Oklahoma State weekend. It'll be that kind of thing.
Georgia Tech included in that, and you have to include Oklahoma State and Tulsa, who does play a Week 3 game. Okay, that I said I wasn't going to troll. That was a good one. Come on. That was a good one.
That was King and Renault, everybody. We'll get him back on the pod the next time we need to do an SEC preview.
Whenever I tweet the whole like the week of the Oklahoma State Tulsa game, and I only reference it as the greatest rivalry in sport. I've never seen you respond to any of those. Like them, engage with them. Yeah,
I just don't. I just stay away.
Well, some people do. It's pretty good. Anyways, so sorry to get off topic.
Yeah, and I don't. People who like, I'm gonna show him. You're not gonna show him shit. Like, go ahead, get in there. Get in there, Jacob 64K3281 with a picture of a license plate from Alabama. Tell me what you really think, Mr. 12 follows following 117.
Oh, I want to know. Cracks me up. What do you? I know I went off topic. I just your pod too, but like, where the heck do you even go from this? Like, fallout. We went through the schedule, talked the divisions.
I mean, all right. So I gotta cram home field and other things in here for just a second. You know who is never going to let me down? It's not Oklahoma. It's Home Field Apparel. Because no matter what happens to the Big 12, they will still have the most comfortable vintage college sports apparel you will find anywhere for my beloved Cowboys. And no matter what conference they end up in, they will have t-shirts for those schools as well, be it the SEC, Big 10, Pac-12. Who knows? Just in case you are still a Big 12 fan listening to this Big 12 pod that will probably be defunct and irrelevant here in the next God knows how soon or how long, they also have Iowa State, Baylor, Texas Tech, Texas, and a soon-to-be, soon-to-not-be Big 12 school to be named later this month. That's a weird thing to say. So if you have not been to Home Field Apparel yet because you've been in that coma that I mentioned early on and just started listening to the podcast, promo code 1012, TEN12, gets you 20% off your first order. There are other promo codes that you will find for Home Field, but none are quite like ours because they're not 20%, and I like to brag about that because I like to save the most money possible. And since you're never going to buy one stinking item from Home Field because that would just be stupid, go to Home Field and be like, I only want one thing. I want you to find one thing and be like, I don't like anything else. That's nonsense, because that means you didn't go to Hawaii or Tulane or, honestly, goodness, the Minnesota stuff. I want a Minnesota Goofy Gopher Hockey National Championship t-shirt in my collection so bad, and I don't care two shits about Minnesota. And I want an Indiana shirt because my grandmother did graduate from there. Anyways, 20% off your first order, the promo code 1012. Remember, all orders of $70 or more get free shipping. Be rocking the most comfortable vintage college sports apparel there is. They do not have Oklahoma, and as far as I'm concerned, they never should now. So, okay. Keegan, do you want to stick around and talk about what this means for the Big 12, or do you need to run?
Do you want me to stick around? That was a very rhetorical question.
I mean, I'm
happy. Do you want me to stick around and talk? I guess if we're recording right now, I was kind of saying, do you want me to stick around and talk about the?
Sure.
I will be. I will be along your side during this entire therapy session.
Okay.
Okay.
So let's do this way. This is the way I've been thinking of this. Let's rank each school based off how screwed they are if the Big 12 falls apart, shall we? That seems like the best way to do this.
That seems like a Phillip segment for today.
Yeah, this is how I want to do things. Number one, let's go with the least screwed off the top because it's going to be the one you least expect, and it's Kansas. And some of you are like, Kansas is terrible at football. It doesn't matter. You do understand that Kansas has the third highest revenue school in the Big 12 because their basketball program is that good. Kansas, based off their athletics and their men's basketball program, will end up probably in the Big 10, if not in the ACC, because their men's basketball program is that valuable. Okay? The ACC is a basketball conference that has a good football team. They're happy to add a team like Kansas because can you imagine Kansas Duke as a regular season matchup twice a year? The Big Ten, who is trying to get better and better at men's basketball, it's why they literally keep adding more conference games and subtracting non-conference games to give themselves better shots at getting more teams into March Madness. The opportunity to add a school who fits their academic acumen, because the Big Ten's a bit cocky about that stuff, and is that good at basketball, Kansas is going to find a landing spot. That's what people are like. Why would anybody, folks? That's how valuable a brand, because this is about brands. This is the thing we have to understand. Stop looking about how good a team is. Look at the brand. How strong is that brand? How strong is that brand? And the Kansas basketball brand is that strong, it will not have a problem. Coincidentally, we'll group the rest of these teams into different organizations, and there are three teams whose brands I don't think there's three schools I'm very worried about. It's Kansas State, Iowa State, and West Virginia. Now, I think West Virginia fans, for the most part, understand this because they've gone through this entire process before when the Big East folded and they sat there going, I don't know where we're going to end up because the ACC didn't want them. And for all the West Virginia fans who are like, maybe the ACC, you guys know it's wishful thinking because they've had many opportunities to bring West Virginia in and they don't do it ever. Because here's the deal. Good thing it's not about TV markets because Manhattan, Kansas, Ames, Iowa, and the state of West Virginia aren't great TV markets. Now it's about brand. Now it's about how much value can you bring us? And by value, you have to look at it not from the standpoint of what is the total dollar amount we will make with you? It's how much will we make per school? Are you another mouth to feed or are you bringing something to the table? Is this a potluck and you're providing or are you just showing up to eat? Because if you're just a school that we're adding and now we all individually make less money because of you, then there's no reason to add you. But if you bring in enough that we all make more money because of you individually as each school at a conference, then it's worth bringing you on. And that's my concern for Iowa State, West Virginia, and Kansas State. Kansas State's the most screwed of all of them. I don't know what they're going to do. And I love you guys. I do. I love the Wildcats. I literally was going to start this show off today by saying I am here to be more positive and optimistic and not so dang negative. I don't want to be so negative. I'm not trying to be negative. You have to explain to me because I see far more negatives and no positives as far as what Kansas State's future looks like. And Keegan, if I'm wrong there, please tell me.
You're not, and you're not wrong with Kansas either, and people won't understand that, but you're not. They were the pair with Oklahoma to go to the Big Ten. So you're not wrong there. In terms of the most screwed, you flipped it, right? I'm trying to make sure I'm saying this right. So you started with Kansas is not the most screwed, and then Kansas State
is the least screwed. Kansas State is the most screwed.
Agreed. I agree with that. And it's nothing against Kansas State. It's nothing. Manhattan is too far from the Kansas City market, and it's not even there. Just you look at the revenues of the schools that aren't Oklahoma, Texas, and Kansas, and it's tough. I even said this when I came on, like, how many Kansas State games have we seen at 7 o'clock on Fox? I don't even said this to you. I think I said this to Spencer Davis where I came on. I mentioned that from the aspect of, that's the worst time slot for Fox on either Fox or FS1 the entire day is the 7 o'clock on Fox.
Yep.
And that's where a lot of Big 12 games
you're not bringing anything from a recruiting standpoint. Like the whole point of recruiting is in a 30-mile radius, what do you bring in? Not a lot. And again, I love Kansas State. I want the Big 12 to survive because I want these historic traditional rivalries. But if you're the Big 10, what's the value? If you're the ACC, what's the value? If you're the Pac-12, what's the value? Geographically, it doesn't fit the Pac-12. It doesn't fit the ACC. It kind of fits the Big 10, but not really. But unless Kansas wants to bring Kansas State along, and here's the other caveat we need to get out of the way. The SEC is going to go to 16 teams. That doesn't mean everybody else is. You're only going to, there's no rule that says you have to be at 16. There's no reason to be at 16 if the schools you bring in don't bring value. The SEC is going to go to 16 because they're adding two of the biggest brands in college football to their arsenal. We're not just going to 16 for the sake of going to 16. If it doesn't benefit the conference, because if you're the Big Ten, unless you bring us more money, like the best, like Ohio State's still going to be awesome. They're still going to be, the Big Ten is still going to make so much freaking money because now, if the Big 12 is gone, that's all Fox has is the Big Ten. They're going to pay out the nose to make sure they have everything from the Big Ten they possibly can. So adding Kansas makes sense. Kansas State does not. West Virginia, unless the ACC changes their mind, is like, sure, we're going to do away with divisions, which they should anyways, and we can add a 15th team. It kind of gives us like 15 and a half because we have Notre Dame, and Notre Dame's never going to stop being an independent because it's too drilled into their own identity as a sports franchise, team, school, whatever. I don't know what West Virginia's going to do. And for Iowa State,
I think this hurts, though, Notre Dame. Yeah, real quick, we're really choppy, so I'll let you go. It's probably on my end, but we're super choppy. Anyways, I want to, first off, before I finish up what I'm saying, I was going to say thanks for having me on in case this is the last time you get a ban. But two, I was going to say I completely agree. I think you're a little too concerned about West Virginia. I think that West Virginia will gladly be swept into the ACC. And the only reason why I think that is because Notre Dame has a longstanding contract with the ACC, and that makes it a no-brainer for them. If they do want to go to 16, Oklahoma and Texas just push the issue for Notre Dame because that's now one less spot for Notre Dame in the playoff because Oklahoma is going to push at least one more SEC team to get in every year. So,
as you and I talked before we started, the ACC has a problem. They signed a 20-year contract with ESPN for the ACC network. That doesn't increase over time. It is what it is. They're going to fall further and further and further and further and further behind financially behind the SEC and the Big Ten. The only way they're going to shift that is if they can add schools and bring ESPN back to the negotiating table. Notre Dame will do that for sure. West Virginia might. And it might be as desperate to say, we're going to add West Virginia just so you have to come talk to us because now we're adding another school. We need more money. Like, that's West Virginia's hopeful saving grace. Iowa State, similar to Kansas State, they're going to keep saying the Big Ten, the Big Ten. Why does the Big Ten need Iowa State? They already own Iowa. I know Iowa State's good at football right now, but if you're like, okay, like, what does that brand bring? Does it make you more money by adding Iowa State for every school, or is it another mouth to feed? And I don't know the answer to that question. And maybe it is because maybe Matt Campbell sticks around, but I don't know. And if I'm Michigan and I want Matt Campbell, I'm like, don't bring in Iowa State because then they have to go to the American and now they make less money and Matt Campbell's easier to grab. I'm doing weird, stupid conspiracy theories. But guys, I don't know what Iowa State's selling point is. Honest to God, to the Big Ten, to bring them in.
It doesn't make much sense for them. It just doesn't.
Because you don't have to get to 16 teams. Okay, so for the other four teams
I'm going to sign off again because everything's choppy and we're cutting each other like in weird audio time. So I want to say thank you before I sign off again for having me on.
Awesome. Yes.
And I know you'll bump and you'll plug all of our stuff. So again, it's always been fun, but before I screw this up way worse than what it needs to, I'm going to hop off. So thanks again, Philip. And hope you guys are everybody, not Oklahoma and Texas here, kind of finding their way tonight. Cause it's choppy waters right now.
It's not fun. Kagan, appreciate it. We will talk to you again soon. Hopefully still as a Big 12 podcast and not as the podcast formerly known as the 10-12. Okay, so let's wrap up with the last four teams we've got to talk about. That's the three remaining Texas schools of TCU, Texas Tech and Baylor, and Oklahoma State. It's got to be the Pac-12. I don't love that. That was the dream of the former Texas Tech or the former Big 12 commissioner. I don't know what the new one thinks, but if they're still going to try and get this Pac-12 network going, if they're going to try and sell it, the value is by adding more teams. And that's the value where you want to get to as many teams as you can. And adding three schools in the state of Texas makes sense. Maybe they don't want all three. Maybe they want Houston and they want the Houston market over Waco. Texas Tech makes sense geographically. TCU's not the biggest brand. They're in Fort Worth, but they're not the Fort Worth market. They're not like Fort Worth's team. That's always been a problem for them. I don't know. Can those teams package themselves in a way to go to the Pac-12? Because, guys, the Big 12 is not going to just, let's go add a few teams, because here's the problem. You could add Houston and SMU and Cincinnati and UCF, and you're still not going to make back from the networks what you're losing in Oklahoma and Texas, which means everybody's taking a pay cut, which means congratulations, you're the American Athletic Conference 2.0. You probably make a little bit more money, but who are your flagships? I love the Big 12 Conference. I don't want it to go this way. Look, you want to say behind why I have a knot the size of Texas and Oklahoma in my stomach right now? Because we're literally trying to build a podcast network. We'll dig into that on August 2nd when Jamie and Andrew are back. I'm trying to put together a podcast network focused on a conference that might not exist in 2 years. I'm literally pulling podcasts together and slowly trying to build something over the next 12 months and the past 2 months. 3 months trying to put something together that may not be relevant in the next 2 years, 4 years, who knows? Like, the effects this is going to have on so many people and so many things, and this college football as a whole is massive and sucks a lot. This is great for Oklahoma and Texas, and it's great for the SEC. It sucks for everybody else. Well, at least everybody in the Big 12. It does. It hurts the Pac-12. Even adding more teams there, it just makes them less relevant. You're going to expand the playoff. There's actually fewer spots now because the SEC is going to get that many teams in. The SEC is going to have four teams. If this really is happening, the SEC will have four teams in the 12-team playoff every year. Just book it. Mark it down. It's going to happen. I hate this. I'm trying not to curse because I hate this. I love Iowa State and Kansas State and West Virginia and Oklahoma and Oklahoma State and Texas Tech and TCU and Baylor, and I want this conference to do the things that it should have done. It should have grown, and Volsby didn't. It should have expanded, and they were pussies, and they didn't do it. They should have gotten back to 12 teams or gone to 14 teams and added teams like Cincinnati and Memphis and not Houston and SMU because you don't know any more teams from Texas. They should have been proactive and going after the schools in the Pac-12, even though they're not anywhere near ready to be able to do that. But they should have been actively going after Arizona. This news today should have been about how Arizona and Arizona State might be leaving for the Pac-12 or for the Big 12. Instead, talk about the two Big 12s, two premier programs, two premier brands are going to leave for the SEC. And I know it's not done. And maybe 6 months from now, I look stupid and I stressed about nothing. And I hope that's the case. I hope this podcast is so freaking irrelevant. 3 months from now, 2 months from now, next Thursday, tomorrow, I hope it goes live and everyone's like, just kidding, this isn't happening. Oklahoma and Texas came out and said, we're signing new media rights deals for the next 40 years, and this podcast can just be like, haha, Philip was an idiot. I would be happy to be wrong. But when there's smoke, there's fire, and guys, if you didn't know any better, you might think there was a new pope. I don't know what else to say from that. Let me know what you guys think. Please let me know. Hit us up on Twitter at Tintoil Podcast, TE, and the number 12, the word podcast. Let us know on the gram at Tintoil Pod. We'll have a rankings pod next week. If you don't yet, go and hunt down what is called Midwest Madness. New podcast. It should be available everywhere podcasts are available within the next 24 to 48 hours. I know it's up on Spotify and Anchor. Midwest Madness. The Big 12 Hoops Pod. We'll talk more about that here next week. Should have the Twitter account running as well. We'll talk about more about that. I got a network coming. Surprise! Ruin the good surprise on you! On this pod. But I just want you to know how I'm feeling. I don't like this. I hate it. I friggin' hate it. I hate it. It's not fun. This is not fun realignment. This sucks. What a crappy way to end this podcast. All right, remember, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram. I know we got a new review and I like to read reviews, but I'm going to save it for next time. We should have cornerback rankings next week. I'm very excited about that one because this Big 12 is still going to exist this season, so it's still relevant. All right, guys, we'll talk to you later.